Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
And so Mia's like, you know, I have all this love to give and I don't have my mom to give it to. And Lindsay says, well, I don't think you know this about me, but I don't talk to my mom. And she says, and now that she has a baby girl, that's very healing for her. But, you know, it'll happen when it happens, basically.
She's like, yeah, having a baby is very healing for me. And if it's not healing, at least it's a good distraction. So there's that. I'm like, I love that Lindsay Hubbard logic. So now we go back to North Carolina and Sierra meets with her mom, Sheila. They go to a coffee shop and Sheila is also like very low key that, you know, like we see where Sierra gets it from. So they're talking about the summer and buying this house, etc. And Sierra is just like looking forward to, she just wants to have, like, she doesn't see herself living in New York City long term. She ultimately would like to raise a family, you know, in the countryside so she can have a couple of cats and a couple of dogs and a goat and a horse and a cow and a pig. And I was like, and a lot of bills, I'd like to add. We learned that her mom was like, is very country and had like multiple pigs growing up and all that, which is like really sweet and cute and adorable.
So then we find out, she's like, you know, Sierra, I haven't discussed with your dad anything about who really owns the house, but he's going to find out. And she's like, well, he's going to be pissed because I did it behind everyone's back, which what? I was like, what is this? So Sheila's like, well, I mean, it wasn't behind his back. You just, you know, it was something that you wanted and you found a way to buy it. So she tells the producer, yeah, my dad will know that I bought it because he's going to watch a show, but I didn't tell him. And she says, you know, she tells us the story from last week that she knows her grandparents' house is home because her parents were always moving around so much. And so it was really important. And she's like, you know, and I just wanted to get the house fair and square. So I didn't want to jump through family special hoops. So I just had to find a real estate agent, get an attorney, have my accountant make a separate LLC, have my accountant make a trust, and then make up a name for the trust, and then buy the house under the trust, and then send my realtor to court my dad and his family. And then they rejected my offer. So I put in another offer and then I got the house. So it was easy. Very, very simple.
I love this for her. I love this twist. This is like very soap opera. It's like, wait a second. We just found out the person who bought the house is Sierra. Like they're going to have a great moment when that all gets revealed over there. But basically the way I read it between the lines is she doesn't want any drama from her family in the sense of like she just wants to own it. And I think she knows if she goes to her family, it'll be like, well, Uncle Richard owns this part, or well, you've got to get like Aunt Bernice to say this or whatever. And like, she's like, I don't want any strings attached that will come with family. I don't want any guilt trips about this and that or whatever. Or like, well, I let you have a discount on this house and this is how you pay me back. She's just like, I'm buying it. And I love that. I love that she did that. And you know, I'm sure her dad will be really pissed, but you know what? This is good revenge. Cause he's done a lot of shitty things to her. So get that house, Sierra.
Yeah. And so her mom, she's crying, talking about it. And how important the house is to her and like to have something to pass on to her kids and generational wealth and stuff like that. And so her mom tells her she loves her and she's like, and they have a nice, you know, it's nice. So it's then really it's Friday, August 15th, and it's totally normal because it's 4:05 p.m., which is weird. It's not 4:06 or 4:04. It's like 4:05. So,
yes,
it's a good omen.
It's a good omen that something is happening on one of the significant hashes on a clock, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, cause part of me was like, they're not shooting the scene at 4:04, are they? Cause that'd be a little weird. Like yeah. This is a 4:05 scene.
So Jesse, Bailey, Tara, and KJ are in one car and West is driving the car and they're going, oh my God, it's Tara's first weekend in the house. Oh my God. It's like, oh my God, everyone, we have to have a rage filled weekend. Cause I'm Tara. I love rage. And I mean, I don't mean in an angry way though. I just mean fun filled.
She really does talk like a sitcom character. I'm kind of like fascinated by her like TGIF style banter. And so Bailey, West is back too. He had a quick trip to Italy and Bailey is like, so how is Italy? He's like, it was sick. Like, it's like all my boys from home and like, we just like ripped it, you know? And by the way, this is a guy who's so desperate for fame that he flew out on Monday and was like, no, I absolutely cannot miss a weekend of shooting Summer House. even though I'm in basically the most beautiful part of the I'm in Italy at a, you know, beautiful ceremony and everything. I don't know. Like, to me, it's crazy that he was already back by Friday. But then as I'm saying this, I'm realizing the flight from Italy to New York is much shorter than from Italy to LA. And I'm so used to going like that, like people who go to, you know what? This is like honestly one of the stupidest points I could have ever made on this podcast. I'm like, I'm just like trying to find a way to shame West about like, why would you leave? Wow. You left Italy to come shoot the show you're obligated to shoot. Wow. You're a fame whore. This is not my strongest work.
He'll give you something. Don't worry. It's West. He'll give you plenty. So
he's I was so ready to go too. I was so ready to go on this point. And as I said it, I was like, this is falling apart on me.
I'm so mad at his travel plans. Who flies Monday through Friday?
Who makes sure they're back for their job when they can be in Italy?
So he's saying, they're like, so how was it? And he's like, well, flying's kind of a bitch right now, but like my boys were fly. Like we were fly. Like we'd like had, it was like my boys. And Jesse goes, well, did you cry? And he goes, well, I mean, I did go to the help desk help lady, whatever. And I asked her for help. And they're like, at the wedding, West. We're not talking not about the airport. So then, the other car, it's Mia, Sierra, and Carl, and Ben is driving that one, and they're like so excited, and Mia's like, oh my god, I'm so excited about this weekend, it's Friday, we're gonna sit by the pool, it's gonna be fucking amazing. They're like, what is wrong with you? She's like, I had cold brew, sorry.
Cold brew. I've been there.
It reminded me right of now.
I'm like, yeah, not only have I been there, I am currently there. Did you not just hear me try to wrestle up pitchforks for West coming back from Italy? So then Mia is like, ah, cold brew. So Sierra says, by the way, Mia and I went to Lindsay's birthday lunch and I asked her about the text that she sent you. And so we see this flashback to Lindsay having a birthday lunch. And she was saying, you know, Carl's gift was like really thoughtful. And like he like got Gemma like a book about like being a New York City baby. And it was like really nice. And so like I sent it, you know, I thought it deserved like a thank you text, you know? And so Carl was like, y'all, back to present. Carl's like, oh, yeah, I saw Lindsay Hubbard pop up on the phone. And I was like, oh.
I was like, oh my God, I need to make my notifications softer. That really hurt my leg. It vibrated really, really hard.
It was really hard. That was like a hard haptic. It was a lot to take on. Like, I haven't had a text from her in like almost 2 years. So progress.
Yeah. They're like, could you be friends with her again? He's like, I don't want to say never, but you know, like, I don't know, but like she invited me to her housewarming, so that was good. But like, I mean, I don't know, like she last week, you know, she did invite me because last week marks 5 years anniversary that my brother's been gone, and you know, it's emotional. And I appreciate you reaching out, Mia. And she's like, oh my God, no problem. And he says that Jesse messaged him, which was cool because Jesse wasn't even there that summer. And you can only feel for the death of someone's brother if they knew you exactly when it happened or something. He's like, right. But he checked in. And not that I was asking for anything special from anybody, but it is nice to hear from your friends. And then in West Car, Jesse's like, yesterday I met with Carl and Ben, and Carl's like kind of going through it, you know, because it was the anniversary of his brother's death's passing, and Carl didn't text him, you know. He just, instead, he Instagrammed about Lindsay's birthday. So that's going to be a big one.
And so Carl's like, yeah, I mean, last week has definitely been rough. It's like, not to like hog the conversation,
on a lighter note, I met Sabrina, we bonded.
Oh, so when I said not to hog the conversation, that was my way of saying I'm about to hog the conversation. I'm aware of it, but that's okay. We could talk about Sabrina. That's cool too.
So Ben's like, well, I need to have a little chat with Amanda at some point, you know, coming off the back of Lindsay's housewarming. Sabrina told me that everybody was talking. And Amanda went up to her and said, you know, Ben's been great the whole time. Everybody in the house thinks that he's in love with me. But apart from that, that's fine. And I was like, hold on, what? You know, I don't understand where that comes from. Like, what do you get out of that? What do you get out of that?
You know, it is kind of crazy that Amanda said that to, like, the girl that Ben is with. That's like, it is kind of like an undermining, bitchy thing to do. I don't know why I wasn't more upset about this, though. I think part of it is because this girl, Sabrina, came in super oversharing. And like, I don't know. It's like, well, you want to hear an overshare? You're about to get one. But I just feel like I feel like Ben is very protective about his image and he's like really trying to make us feel like he's this like nice guy thing. And like, if it's like, if he's not in love with Amanda, like, it's like, I don't know. He should just be like, yeah, that's crazy that she would say that. People are just like giving me shit about it, but it's not real. And just like move on. But this is now going to be the second time he's going to get pissy about it. And it's like, bro, I'm sorry. Like, you cannot do this whole thing of that. Like, you're nervous and you're shy. And then you get this like steely anger towards the women now two times in a row. I don't like it.
Yeah. And Ben's saying that Sabrina and Amanda had a very beautiful heart to heart at the party. And we see a clip of this. And the heart to heart is Amanda being like, I'm fully aware of what I'm going through. And I love hearing other people's experiences too. And he says that Sabrina was not pleased about the comment Amanda made. And now she's upset. And she's like, why are you saying that? And like, why is this guy like, why is he saying he's in love with you and not me? Like, what are you doing? And he's now pissed off, basically.
But like, also, Sabrina, you're complicit as part of this thing of like having a secret romance while he goes onto a reality TV show and pretends to be single. And then like, someone picks up on a vibe, like a single vibe that he's pretending. And then you're like upset that he like gave off a single vibe when you were pretending part of this ruse this whole time. So like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, like on a human level, I get why Sabrina would be like, oh, well, fuck this. Like, that's a bitchy thing to say. Like, it is like what Amanda said is kind of bitchy. It's kind of like, it's just rude to say that to the girl that's dating a guy. But also, like, Sabrina and Ben are doing some stupid charade of him being single on the show when we know that they were together the whole time. So, like, I also am like, I kind of don't have sympathy for, like, whoa, Sabrina's upset right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, making comments, like, making joke comments to somebody is one thing. But saying, like, yeah, everybody thinks he's in love with me is pretty, that's a pretty big thing to joke about. Because you know you're going to make another woman uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, even with a joke. You know,
and Amanda does have that kind of catty side to her. So it's like, what was she doing? You know, but Ben also does not need to spin out about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and like Amanda, I think one of Amanda's like least appealing qualities is that she does have like a very sarcastic and kind of like, I don't want to say in this, she just has a sarcastic side of her that I think can become very tiresome. And I think this is probably like her doing that again. And it's like, you know, it's just like, it's going to get you in trouble sometimes when you're sarcastic like that. But again, I think Ben's issue is more annoying to me, which is that I don't like that way when he gets upset, how we talk to Bailey and then how he talks to Amanda. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, there's definitely like a creep side to him that I don't like either when he gets upset. I don't like it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It does seem like a pointed thing to come from Amanda, and especially when she was at that party and she said, what is Ben telling this girl? Like, why is she asking us all these questions? Like, how does she know our whole lives after 2 seconds or whatever? Mm-hmm. So she kind of had her radar dinging about this girl anyway. So she made that comment while she was thinking stuff. It's, I don't know. It's like, it's a catty thing, but yeah, Ben spins out too much about it. Like, just tell the girl it was a joke at the house, you know?
Yeah.
But Ben's upset because he didn't tell her, because Amanda might've been thinking, now that we're talking about it, Amanda might've been thinking, oh, well, he's telling her everything. So he probably told her about how he got mad at Bailey because Bailey made that comment about me wanting to fuck Ben. So I'm going to make it, you know, this funny thing.
That's actually very possible.
You know, like maybe I don't want this girl to hate me if she ends up coming to the house or whatever. So she might have been trying to smooth that over. But of course, Ben left out that part because he doesn't want to get in trouble with the girl. So
that's actually a great point.
Now he's mad that he's being outed for keeping something from the girl.
I think it's totally viable that Amanda assumed this girl already knew and she was trying to make light of what could possibly be an elephant in the room. But also, again, like Amanda does have that super sarcastic side where these things don't always land very well.
Yeah, totally.
But either way, I think her infraction is like minor compared to like, I just don't like, I think Ben's is worse to me than Amanda's in this situation. Plus, we didn't even see the way what Amanda said. This is all just sort of what Ben is saying. So now Ben is going to talk to her and he's like, I don't know. It just seems so fucking unnecessary that shit's gone. It just upsets me a lot. I'm like, oh, relax, ma'am.
Yeah, and he says, I care about Sabrina, and I'm excited she's coming, and she's priority number one, and I'm going to make sure that she knows that by getting on Amanda.
Also, whatever, Ben. Also, you know what I don't like? I don't like guys like this who, when, if we were to take his story at face value, his story is that they connected, they were had the best time together, and she professed feelings to him, probably said, I love you, before he was ready to say it back. And then he kind of like left her and ghosted her. That's his story with her. And I hate when people, like, he left her on red, essentially, quote unquote. And then he decides finally a few months later, oh, guess what? I haven't found a better option yet. So I'm going to go back to her. And I like her a lot. And like, now don't you all fuck this up for me, because she matters the most to me. I'm like, does she really matter the most to you? Because you weren't with her for the past 3 months after she was like sort of bore her heart for you. So like, yeah. I kind of don't like, oh, we have to stop everything because he cares so much about her because he just decided that like 3 days ago.
Yeah, and he's kind of a typical summer house guy, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna dump this girl so I can be single for the show, but now I'm not getting any ass on the show, and I still want a romantic storyline, or I'm not gonna have anything going on, so she's gonna be my romantic storyline, and now I'm gonna bring her in, and then act like I've been caping for her the whole time. I don't like him. You know, he's not hateable. Like, I don't hate him. He's not like West, where West, you know, people like West and Jesse, just my hackles raise with those guys. And he's not really giving me that, but he's giving me, there's a definite, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone arrives at the house, and they're like arriving in. Mia announces that she's going to make some guacamole. Wow. It's a changing of the guard. And then,
spinning off this show. They're like, okay, we need someone in here, a new cast member who can make guacamole. Who's it going to be?
But that was always my role.
You're not on the show anymore, Amanda. Okay. It's over for you.
Then they're just sort of like arriving and et cetera. And so, can we see a flashback, by the way, to the car where KJ is telling Wes, he's like, bro, I saw your slideshow. And like, how about that absolute dump truck of yours? And we see that Wes has a big old butt, and he's showing it off in his pictures on Instagram.
That is definitely his best quality, is that butt. So yeah, then Wes goes to take a shaker to make margs, and there is blue cheese that they've left in there. It has rotted. And they're like, don't even wash it. Just throw it away. No, wash it.
Well, he sniffs it and he goes, they're like, what's in there? He goes, it couldn't be worse.
There's blue cheese in there. They're like, oh, throw it away. So now Amanda and Kyle come, and they're, you know, they all decide they're going to go to the driving range and mini golf. So they're going to do that later. And then, and Carl's like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. And Bailey says, you have 2 watches. You better know what time it is. Because he has a watch on each wrist. Why does he have a watch on each wrist? What is that? Oh, is that a running thing?
That way when you're running and your arms are in front of you, maybe you can always see the time. Oh, it's just my little hack.
I get double the rings. I get double the activity rings that way. Yeah.
Like, so, Daryl, since it's your first weekend in the house officially, do you have anything that you would like to do tonight? She goes, I would love all of us to hold hands and share our deepest, darkest secrets. Laugh track. Or instead, we can go out and get drunk. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So now outside, Jesse and Ben are talking, and Jesse's like, so how about that ride in? I decided I'm just going to be myself. And Ben's like, yeah, well, you know, it was taking a bit out of me there. But and Jesse's like, well, are you going to talk to Kyle, Carl? You're going to talk to Carl? He's like, well, I mean, I would like to at some point. Very upset. I'm so upset that I shot a scene about it yesterday and then another one in the car on the way here, and I'm going to shoot 2 more scenes about it today. Very, very upset.
Yeah, I think you've been a great friend to Kyle, and I think you deserve that same thing back. Like, y'all, it's just like, it's weird for me to like have him to go to him and like tell him about the anniversary that like my brother died. Like a real friend already knows that, you know. Oh, it's like, and Ben's like, yeah, I shouldn't have to mention this. It's like, yeah, no, I shouldn't. It's like, it's like insane. It's like, oh, it's literally insane that I even have to broach it. Like, can you imagine? It's like looking at a barrel lapel and being like, we have to put a brooch on that. Like, it's just insanity. Whoa.
Listen, I'm sorry. I know this is going to come across heartless, but I can't not say something. When did this become a thing? I have not called somebody on the anniversary of a family member's death every single year for 5 years ever. I've never done it. Have you?
No, I mean, there have definitely been times where I will look at the calendar and I'll see, and I'll be like, I'll shoot someone maybe a text message. I'll be like, hey, I know this may be a hard time for you. But like generally speaking, like I sort of do it that first, maybe I might do it the first anniversary if I remember. If someone's like really close, I'll try to.
Yeah, or if it's like Christmas or something and you're like, oh my God, this is the first year without your husband. I hope you're okay. You know, like I'll check in. It's not like I'm a total monster.
Right. We check in.
I just can't imagine expecting somebody to be like, oh, Ronnie, this is when you're, you know.
Yeah.
Best friend passed, you know, or this is when someone close to you passed away. I'm going to text you every single year about it on that. It's weird. You know, I can't imagine expecting that of somebody.
I think that probably what happens is because Jesse texts and then because Mia texts, it's therefore more obvious that Kyle did not text. And so.
But for them to text, he must have said something to them because how else would they know? So he must have said something like, my brother's death is coming up on this day or something. So they're like, oh my God, Carl obviously is still really feeling this thing. And so I'm going to text him on this day because he just told me about it 2 days ago. Right.
Right. Right. And I think that like, you know, I understand why Carl is feeling some sort of way by the fact that not only did Kyle not text, but he posted a happy birthday to basically Carl's arch enemy on the show now. And that really hurts. But there is like a convention of announcing people's birthdays, like happy birthday to every year on someone's birthday. And unfortunately, there just is not the same convention for
and you get reminders.
Like checking in.
You get reminders and Facebooks and stuff like
that. Lindsay.
You don't get like Carl's brother passed away reminder on Facebook, you know?
Right.
It's not like an iCal thing that pops up. And it's not even that, because even if I remembered and it was year five, I don't know that I would be like 5 years later, I think it's Carl being upset over the Loverboy thing and he didn't get the answers he wanted. And he's still resenting Kyle over the Loverboy thing. And now he's going to make this a thing to come after Kyle on TV because he knows Kyle's not getting, you know, he knows he's getting the shit already with Amanda because Kyle's acting like an asshole with Amanda. And then he tried the Loverboy, the soft bar investing thing, and that didn't go for him. And so now he's going to come for this. I mean, honestly, I find it gross that Carl is going to use his brother's death to come at a friend on TV this way. I think it's icky. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't like hate Carl, but I just this whole new like Carl. Everybody's like, oh my God, Carl's so sweet. Carl is not sweet. Carl's a manipulative fucking person. And this just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't like
it. We've always felt that Carl is a manipulator. I do think that really he's just upset about the investing thing. And then, of course, it's now become a storyline. So you have people poking and prodding Carl. I mean, like, aren't you upset? Aren't you upset? So he's sort of like at a base level frustrated with Kyle. And then this thing comes along. And then like some people text him, but not Kyle. And he's already feeling a certain way about Kyle. So now it's like he feels that way even more. Whereas if he'd been in good standing with Kyle, he'd be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, he'd give Kyle the benefit of the doubt. But now he's not in a place where he wants to give Kyle the benefit of the doubt. So like
it's just like another thing piled on top of the Kyle's not a good friend to me thing.
But I also feel like it's just, I don't know. I do feel like Kyle, let's also not forget, was Kyle an officiant in Carl and Lindsay's wedding? Was he supposed to be? Was he supposed to be best man? Was he supposed to be he was the flower girl in the wedding. So let's not also forget that like all these little things that happen amongst people in life, they kind of come back, you know? It's like the moment you make Kyle the flower girl, you've kind of sent a message out there that like, hey, I don't know if I value you as much as you value me, right? And not to put outsized importance on the flower girl thing, but it's like one of those little things in a friendship. And it's just like, I just feel like Kyle has actually extended himself quite a bit to Carl. He has also undermined Carl. Kyle is not perfect, but I feel like, I don't know. I kind of had that feeling too. Like the nice guy part of me was like, well, you still should check in on your best friend, you know, on the anniversary of a death in his life. But then there's part of me that's like, but Carl has to start like moving forward with his life.
I think if Carl had come to Kyle and said, Kyle, my brother, you know, passed away 5 years ago. This was the anniversary. I didn't even hear a text from you. That's so weird. Like, are you okay? Are you mad? Like, what's going on? Because normally you would text me. Maybe I would think, okay, maybe that's a little oversensitive, but whatever. It wouldn't ding me. You know what I mean? Because that's normal human emotion. But the fact that he went to shoot a scene with the guys about it, to talk about it, to like rally mm-hmm. the guys there. And then he did it again and with the girls in the car, you know, with like a mixed, it doesn't matter guys or girls, but I'm just saying like he had two full scenes to like get this going with everybody in the house of like, oh my God, Kyle's such an insensitive prick. Like, how can you not call someone when their brother dies? That's where I'm like, this guy's a manipulator. And he's decided he's going to come for Kyle now. And this is how he's going to use his brother's death to do it instead of having the balls to stand on the lover boy thing. I just think it's really gross, you know, and that's obviously not saying Kyle's perfect. This whole season I've been screaming like, leave him, Amanda, for fuck's sake. Like, I've not been team Kyle on this, on anything, but on this, I think Carl's being a typical manipulating asshole. I don't think this is cool. This is a bad move.
And I also remember when Carl was like upset at Kyle when he was working at Loverboy and he felt like he was being used and abused at Loverboy. And then it turns out Kyle was like, no, I'm down to expand your role and give you something else. Write me a business proposal. And Carl just never did it. And like, there's always, I don't know, I think that Carl kind of sort of takes a lot from Kyle and he still expects more. And I feel like Kyle, he's been largely patient, except for when he outed Carl being high on coke during a meeting at Loverboy. But like, by and large, I think Kyle has actually given a lot to Carl. And I think he's actually being pretty chill by not being like, I've given you so fucking much. You would be nowhere without me right now, you know? So I'm always like, you know, I feel like Carl really presents things in one way, but there's a larger story to be told.
He presents things always as a victim instead of somebody who's been helped to a tremendous degree by somebody who did not owe you that help, you know?
Yeah.
He gave and you work said, when nobody would give you, he was paying your ass when you were showing up there, blitzed out of your mind, coked up, showing up without your laptop, doing all that. He was keeping you going and you're still like, Kyle didn't give me that, like a tiny investment, by the way, $15,000. His rent is 10 grand a month. So it's not like he's just coming at him in these tiny little ways that are just, I wouldn't be friends with someone like that. That's just a manipulator and a victim, a constant fucking victim, this guy.
Yeah, it is. There definitely is that vibe that's going on there. So, he is upset either way. And Kyle's, and then West, meanwhile, is like, hey, so Kyle, have you talked to Carl today? Kyle's like, no, I mentioned that like Carl's probably going to want to talk to you. And it's like, do you know why? It's like, investor stuff or something like that. It's like, no, you didn't text him on his brother's passing day, which was the day before Lindsay's birthday. It's like, oh, and I think that hurt him a little bit. But I think because you posted a happy birthday to Lindsay, like, I think that hurt his feelings a little bit. So what's your wife up to right now, by the way?
I was going to say, so now you have West coming to add to it, to also villainize Kyle. When that clip was released of when West was going into the bathroom to check on Amanda, you've seen this, right? A couple weeks ago. People were spreading this clip all around because he goes into the bathroom and he comes out taking a sock out because apparently he was trying to cover his mic with a sock or something so they couldn't hear him. And in the bathroom, he was like, it's okay, baby, to Amanda, which I didn't hear him saying it's okay, baby, to Amanda. So
I didn't hear
basically
that.
He's possibly already hooking up with Amanda, or at the very least leaning that way at this time. And so he's like, okay, I'll take Carl's thing and I'll use that against Kyle to further paint Kyle is a monster during this whole thing. So
yeah,
this whole episode was pissing me off. And I felt like such an asshole for even being pissed off because it's like a victim cloak type of thing. Like you cannot criticize somebody when it's about their brother dying. And part of me feels that way. But the other part of me is like, no, fuck that. This is bullshit. This is manipulative bullshit. And now it's West coming in on it too, who's probably fucking Amanda's wife at the time.
Well, the other thing is that like, well, we've said about this investor situation many times and now can be applied to this, is that like Kyle, I don't think that Kyle is under any obligation to do these things, but if he did do them, that would be a lovely thing for him to do. But he is not, but he can also, I don't think it would be a demerit if he doesn't do them. And Carl does treat it like a demerit. So like, would it be nice if Kyle did the lovely thing? Yes, he should do the lovely thing. We should all try to do the lovely thing. But I don't think that it should be in these cases, I think I don't think that they should be held against him when he doesn't do it in these specific cases.
Yeah, but this is, of course, a typical Kyle answer. He's like, oh, God, I was stressing. I mean, I had a really important call, and I had to do laundry, and I had to pack, and I had to do all this shit. And he's like, don't say that. Don't come in with excuses, bro. And he's like, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that, you know, I was really busy. And he's like, I know, but, like, if you're talking to him, like, don't bring up laundry, you know? Like,
funny.
Just, you know, say you fucking forgot, you know, and you love him, and, you know, he'll get over it if you just address it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Back outside, Carl's like, yeah, like the first thing he's grabbing, and if this house gets set on fire, is the DJ equipment. Like, none of our hands to get us out of the house. Like, he's only going to save that DJ equipment. Like, what do you have left when all this gets taken away? Like, you have us, not your fucking DJ or your speaker. That could all disappear.
Like, what are you doing?
Okay, relax, Carl. Carl, you're the runner of the group. You're going to be the first one to run out of the house. So why are you waiting for Kyle to take your hand? Okay.
He's gonna save his DJ equipment. I mean, is he right? Yes.
But do we think that everyone
in this house is gonna be non-self-interested in that moment? I guarantee they're all gonna be just darting out and leaving everyone else behind.
This show of 10 years on this show, we have lists and lists of shit people have done to support Carl. We don't have the same thing from Carl. You know what I mean? We don't have that same thing for Kyle. So for Carl to become, I mean, he was in his wedding, you know? So
Carl ordered food for the house. There was that one season where Carl was in charge of Postmates. So that was exciting.
And that was a huge episode where Carl's like, oh my God, I'm ordering food for people. It was like, whoa, fireworks. Like the one time the husband takes the trash out without being asked and he wants a fucking medal, you know?
Yeah. We all know, by the way, that at this house catches on fire, the only one who will be left behind is Jules from season 4, because they already said that that's what they would do.
Amanda said that. Like, who would you leave in a burning house? And Amanda's like, Jules.
And then Carl also lectured Jules later. So, you know,
Carl was a total asshole to Jules as well. Total so, yeah, asshole. I don't know. I just... This stuff's all bugging me, but apparently. So West is like, so he gives him advice. So then Carl goes off on Kyle, and Kyle's like, well, thanks for giving me a heads up, West. So then Carl goes on and he's like, yeah, because there are times I try to have these conversations, but he doesn't listen. And like, I know how Amanda feels now. I'm like, what friends want to be with someone that doesn't listen to them and just kind of has a general sense of I do whatever the fuck I want? Literally every person you've talked to told you not to open soft bar.
Carl, you were engaged to that person. So you're like, what sort of person wants to be around that? You were literally fucking that person. You were doing that. Okay. You're on a reality TV show where everyone does this.
Okay.
And by the way, there's a trail of women in your wake, Carl, who have the same question about you. You know, like, I do whatever the fuck I want. Like, let's not forget that as well.
Yeah. But so he sweeps all of that into this, like, but, you know, I was addicted. And it's like, okay, but it doesn't like erase, it doesn't erase your entire history. You know what I mean? It gives a reason, but not an excuse. And it just makes me crazy that he's so fucking holier than thou about everything. It's like, you're Carl. Do you not remember who Carl is? So August 15th, why do I say that? I don't care. It's because the show did. Okay.
Is it 7 o'clock?
So, nope. 6:59, no? Guys.
Ah,
ran out of bad luck. We ran out of it. So everybody's getting ready to go golf, and they're talking about each other's golfing outfit. And Bailey's like, I mean, my boobs are out because, like, I love having my boobs out, but Carl notices my boobs are out. I'm not going to be sad about it. Like, what's it called? A putter? Whoops. Is that flirting?
Girl, he's not going to notice those boobs unless you add some stripes to them. Get those tan lines going. And then everyone's like, oh my God, look cute. They're talking about their shoes and Sierra has like wedges on. They're like, how are you going to golf in that? She's like, I can golf in anything. I'm a girl. So they all are hopping in their cars and they go to this miniature golf place and they're grabbing their clubs and Dara feels very empowered. She's like, I got a club. I'm empowered. And Sierra's hitting balls, doing surprisingly well. And they're all like impressed that she is able to get some significant drives with
her. Jess is like, West has never hit the ball that far in the entire, like even half that far. So then we see West mini golfing and can't do it for shit. Basically, he's terrible. So they just golf. It's a lot of fun and games and stuff. Then Bailey has her flirt moment with Carl where she's like, are my legs far enough apart? That's what she said. He's like, there you go. Yeah. Lean down. Yeah. Yeah. Spread your legs. Yeah. Look at the hole. Yeah. Okay. You did it. You did it. It's like, wow, you're such a good golf teacher. Was that flirting?
And then food arrives and everything. And they're all sort of like, they all like flock to the food around the table. Like they haven't eaten in 5 days. And while they're there, Carl, they're just bantering. And then Carl's like, hey, Cookie, yeah, look, can we go for a chat for a sec? Okay, yeah, let's go over here. We're going to have a little chat. Okay, let's go back to the batting cages. Remember this? Remember when I had a fight when I was acting hard against Duke? We have a flashback to like many years ago where Luke and Carl had one of their fights, in which basically Luke's saying like, that's not fair. You can't say that. Okay, you know what? I'll go after and then we'll talk, okay? And then Carl throws something down on the ground, trying to act like he's actually
going to... He's like, hold me back. I'm going to kill him. So then Kyle's like, well, you know, okay, look, Wes did give me a little heads up about this and I want to talk to you. So like, I'm glad you pulled me over. But like, first and foremost, like, I want to apologize. I feel like the last several years I've been with you on your brother's anniversary and like, I mean, there's no excuse for it, but I spaced and I'm sorry. You know, it's the story of my summer. You know, I feel like I've been letting you down all summer. So I thought that was
good. And it was a good reminder that I was, not only did I text you the last few years, I was with you the last few years, above and beyond kind of stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, it definitely, like, let me down. And I've just been, like, trying to figure out, like, how to talk to you. Because, like, I'm just, like, a little disappointed. And being by these batting cages is, like, really triggering. Because, like, Luke is so scary. And I was just, like, I don't know, I was hoping to hear from my best friend. And I mean, like, you were the guy that I ran to that day and you were the person I told. And I just feel like our friendship is disconnected. And I just like, don't even know what to say.
And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. He goes, yeah, because I'm disappointed and sad. And like, you know, I pulled up Instagram Monday morning and I saw like the Lindsay thing. I was just like, damn, he's saying, I just somebody on their birthday. It's crazy. He's like, well, I know Lindsay is like the type of person though. Like if you don't make an effort, she'll remember that as much as if you do, you know, but like, which I think is funny. He's like, Lindsay's terrifying. Of course I remembered her birthday. Are you kidding? What, do I have a death wish? Yes. I said happy birthday to Lindsay. He's like, if you feel like I let our friendship slip, you know, I also feel sometimes like you're not inviting me to things. He's like, I mean, I can't even think of a time when you invited me to something. And I said, no, I mean, like you're active and doing cool shit. You never invite me anywhere. So
I feel like this was Kyle's opportunity to just say, sorry, bro. I hope you do
better. But Carl won't let him.
But rather than Kyle saying like, I just think that Kyle should just be like, totally. Instead of being like, you don't invite me to things. Because do you really want to do the things that Carl's doing? Do you really want to be doing those things?
No, but Carl's like, you know, where's my best friend? And I think Kyle's like, yeah. Kyle, because I think it's subtly, Carl's trying to present this like you're my best friend. And Kyle's like, we haven't been best friends in years. What the fuck are you talking about? You don't even call me to hang out anymore. What are you doing? I think that's kind of the subtext here. It's like, when have you ever invited me out? Like, how are you calling me your best friend and guilting me like your best friend didn't call you? Like, what are you talking about, Carl?
Mm-hmm. It's like, I literally feel like I can't catch a break this summer. Like, I can't be the CEO I need to be for the lover boy. Can't be the husband that Amanda needs. Can't be the friend that Carl needs. Can't be the DJ that Moni Moni needs by Billy Idol. It's just, I'm literally striking out.
And he's like, well, I appreciate what you're saying, man. He's like, well, if I've done something to piss you off, you know, I just, just let me know like this, like tell me like this. And he goes, well, you know, I'm struggling to say like what I want to say. Well, look, if words come to you later, then you can, it doesn't matter how you look. Just pull me aside and we can talk later if you need to talk later. And he's like, okay, well, you know, sometimes I like temper how I feel because I don't want to hurt you. Or I don't want to like, I don't know, come across like an asshole.
All right, well, I want you to feel comfortable talking about things because you know me, I'm Kyle Cook. I take criticism really, really, really well. And I'm just like, I'm not going to chew you out, man. I'll be totally chill. And most likely I'll be sober when I hear it. So I'll have a very like level-headed response. So it's all good, bro.
And then he tells us, I need to have better conversations about, I need to get better about having conversations with Kyle Cook. Because like, I shut down. And like, literally, I just shut down. I'm just Carl. I'm just like terrified little Carl who can't have conversations. You just did it. You just told him exactly what it is. And the producer's like, well, what did you want to say that you didn't? And he's like, I mean, I think I wanted to say, fuck you.
I mean, what else do you have in your life that is like anywhere close to someone like me that shows up for you and cares for you? Like, because if you do this to me, did him like texting me on Sunday make or break my day? No, but it's just like, makes me nervous for Kyle. Like, I'm not your friend. Like, who do you got? I'm like,
no, he's saying, if I'm not your friend, like, who else do you have? Like, I'm all Kyle has.
Right. I'm like, I don't think that's true, actually, but that's fine. So then Amanda's just like hanging around the table. She's like, oh my God, have you guys been sitting here for a while? And she, her like eyes are bulging. That's her big thing, is like bulging her eyes to be like, wow. And Ben is like, actually, I want to go for a chat. Just me and you. She goes, for real? He's like, yeah, for real. She's like, okay. Eyes bulge. So they go to a different area to talk. And basically Ben's like, so last week at Lindsay's, you know, that was the first time I'd taken Sabrina out to meet everyone. And just at the end, I just got a bit thrown off with the everybody thinks that he's in love with me. And it just kind of like threw her off. And I just thought like, I didn't know why you kind of said that to the person who I love so much ever since this past Thursday. And it just like rocked her because she was wondering why. And I just don't know if you were joking.
I'm just like, well, if I said something that made her upset, like it wasn't intended that way. I was just like literally singing your praises to her. And he goes, well, she felt like it was a big dig at the end, you know? She said, why is that coming up? And I came out here to with you and Kyle and we're all good friends. And I just thought it was a bit shit to kind of say it in that way. And she's like, yeah, like.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm already fucking West. Like, what? What are you talking about? And wow, what an episode. So there you go, everybody. Sommerhausen.
We'll find out next week how that confrontation goes. Thanks, everyone, for being here.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Shouse.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess. It's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie. It's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon out of a cannon. Anthony.
Please don't stop. It's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose. It's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Shouse.